How to never feel lonely again?
Well,
it also requires us to befriend our mind, because ultimately it's constantly there. It constantly tries to get our attention. And most of the times we don't really like it. We don't really like that, whatever it's telling us. I mean, yes, there are, of course, those that are fortunate enough to have constantly a little cheerleader saying beautiful things, or maybe, you know, just a voice that feels very encouraging or positive, and or maybe just a neutral mind that just says, like in a Buddhist way, it is what it is, and, you know, don't get too attached, don't have too many expectations, because they only lead to disappointment, so be present in the moment. Well, those are very desirable ways of being, but let's face it, most of us are struggling with the mind, struggling also with the emotions that the mind seems to randomly throw at us at the most inopportune moments. Why does the mind do it when it actually doesn't really serve a purpose? Well, you know, ultimately the mind is, like the body, also very protective. You know, just like the body is trying to fend off any kind of intruders, well, the mind is also trying to protect us from making sure that we don't get hurt, ostracized, rejected, getting negative attention. So often the mind gives us this jolt of inner critical thoughts to be prepared for what other people may be thinking. So if we think this first, then we can do whatever it needs to be done in order to avoid criticism and judgment from others. And then there's also the other aspect of the mind, which is about making us happy, trying to, you know, make us find pleasure and be satisfied. So those two speeds most of us are familiar with. But there's also something about the mind that I think is really so important to realize. The mind is not one thing. And I think when we are really wrapping our mind around that there is not just one voice, one mind authority inside of us, but that there are actually many parts inside of us that are talking, and sometimes, you know, they're battling with each other, they're in conflict with each other, then we can also see, like, okay, so this is like an inner team. Now, who is a team leader? Who is a manager? Who is in charge? And when you get that, then you also realize that, okay, so when I went, let's say, out to find, you know, or go on a date, then there is this one, you know, voice inside of me that's all excited and, you know, really looks forward to meeting this person and may go a little bit, you know, too far ahead, already thinking about the vacation you could have with this person, and then maybe introducing this person to your parents, and then maybe already thinking about where would I do the wedding, and you never have met this person in the first place. So there is one overly excited side of you. And then there is another side of you that may say, oh, it's not going to work. Oh, they're going to just, you know, think you're too boring. You have nothing to say. There is nothing in common, whatever those things are. So there is already this naysayer. And so these are obviously two very different parts, different voices inside. And you may feel like pulled and pushed from one to the other, and that makes you very unsettled. Well, this is where it really helps to realize who you are, what you want to believe, who is in charge, that adult middle person that ultimately, you know, I think we have to establish, we have to identify ourselves with. So in order for the mind to become not that scary thing, don't take all the voices too seriously. Don't think every voice tells you the truth. They only tell you, and you're not schizophrenic, you're not like split personality. No, no, we all have that. But these voices in your head, they're only telling you their perspectives. So there needs to be a voice that takes ownership of your mind, takes ownership of your life. And that is something that is a voice usually that we have to, you know, as I said, establish, and we have to choose who can this voice be? And for that, the mind is actually really appreciative of that, because the mind is needing a leader, not only the conscious mind, but especially the subconscious mind, who, you know, is basically this deeper part of the mind who, without a leader, just, you know, does those random things it has learned, or the impulses or triggers it gets and reacts to those. And so without a leader, the subconscious kind of, you know, goes back and forth like a little ping pong. So try to imagine that you could establish a voice in your mind who is that manager of all these other voices that you try to get away from. And to do this, you want to just spend a little time with those voices that you hear. So rather than turning the TV on or trying to phone someone right away or getting immersed in some social media stuff, just sit sometimes with yourself and listen to this, you know, conversations that happen in your head. And then try to respond to them. You don't have to respond to all thoughts, and you don't have to really take all those, you know, inner communications that serious. But sometimes you just know there is a nagging little voice that maybe asks you a lot of questions. Are we safe? Are we okay? Will we ever get, you know, into a relationship? And then we just have to really be calm about it. Maybe you're going to write down some of those thoughts and then respond. Respond as if you would talk to a really good friend, or maybe to a younger sibling, and just come from that adult, compassionate, but also caring place, and respond in a way that you feel makes that more agitated part of you relaxed, learning to trust you, learning to feel like, oh, there is someone actually who is in the steering wheel, who is in the driver's seat, who takes care of me. So I don't really have to always say alert, alert, alert. I can actually more relax. So that's one way to become the leader of your mind. Another way to become the leader of your mind is to choose what you want your mind to focus on. There it can be helpful to have your mind, you know, just see your mind as almost like a, you know, a little dog who needs to be trained, because your mind may just be untrained. You know, it may just be so reactionary that it never really knows what to focus on, because it can be focusing on this and then it gets distracted from that. And then all of a sudden that seems to be important. So try to sit with your mind and choose. What do I want to focus on? You know, mindfulness, right? Being present, being, you know, just aware of your surroundings, of your breath, of the gravity that holds your body down. You know why that works so well for the mind? Because it gives it a focus. It makes it calmer, because it lets go of all those heads turning distractions. It knows this is what we are doing right now. This is what we are focusing right now. Same thing with, you know, reading a book. To stay with the book at least for 20 minutes so that your mind learns again to be immersed in one story rather than, you know, switching back and forth to other people's stories that often are not really meaningful. And then, of course, let your mind also, you know, show you what it would like to focus on. The mind is also a friend. It also just wants us to have the best experience in life. And for that, it does give us signals and opinions and also, you know, knocks at our door, tries to wake us up, tries to get our attention. And all we need to do is just to listen. And then, as I said before, be the leader. Just like you want to be the steward of your body, you want to be the leader of your mind, and then choose. How do I respond? What do I focus on? How do I create better balance? How do I befriend my mind? And if you do, what you're going to feel is peace. Peace with your mind. You actually feel like, oh, I have this whole inner family inside that I can, you know, listen to that actually give me sometimes really good advice, or maybe also, you know, push me to do things that I otherwise wouldn't do, where I realize, wow, you know, this was so great that my mind reminded me that I love painting. And I haven't done painting in a long time, so I just took this class and it was a blast and I met new people. Thank you, mind, for getting me on this track. Finding the mind as interesting as meeting anybody new in your life is a wonderful first step to get closer to your mind. Then when you establish this relationship, you feel comfortable with your mind, you automatically feel so much more comfortable with yourself.